Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
God is good, is he not? Amen. Well, as I stated, we have three prayers this morning. Now, you just have to see how my sermon turned out. We do it black and red. I read black, Paul reads red. Thankfully, most of the red spots got it, but my part looks like it's been bled upon. But I think if there's any lines I can't read, you'll just take over for me. How will that be? So that's my lesson. Usually I keep in a nice little binder, but I thought, nah, too much to handle this morning. I will go back to the binder. Three prayers this morning. The first prayer, the prayer of Jabez, is for yourself, okay? Sometimes we just need to be willing to go to God and say, I need you. I need you. And to have those words to say to him and recognize it's not selfish. It's not selfish to ask God to be with us every day. The second prayer, Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, is a beautiful prayer for others. So if you're saying, where can I get my hands on a prayer that I can pray over family, over friends, over loved ones, over the church, what can I use? And this is going to be an excellent prayer. The third prayer is just a praise proclamation prayer from Habakkuk. And we don't hear much from Habakkuk, so it's always good to bring him back in from time to time. Now, 17 years ago, Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book on the prayer of Jabez. How many of you have read it or heard of that book? Excellent. Okay, so I may be repeating a few things that you already know concerning Bruce Wilkinson's thoughts on that book, but hopefully I'll focus on a few aspects that either you didn't remember, and thankfully maybe you've forgotten, so today it will sound all kind of fresh and new. So that is one resource we're using this morning. But mainly we use our Bible commentaries, and we really enjoy just digging into the Word. Now, the actual prayer of Jabez is found in the folds of the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles of the Old Testament. So we're taking the first prayer from the Old Testament and the second prayer from the New Testament. Now, I don't know how many of you have read the Bible through the whole way from Genesis to the end, and many of you may say, I have done that several times. But I have to tell you, you have to be really tenacious to read 1 Chronicles word for word, because 9 of the 29 chapters is literally word for word genealogical list after list after list after list after list. For example, it begins with, obviously, Adam, of course, in chapter 1, along with Noah and Abraham. And then chapter 2 is the sons of Israel. Chapter 3, the sons of David. Chapter 4, the sons of Judah. Chapter 5, the sons of Reuben. And so on and so forth through chapter 9. Now, these are generally, I don't know how you approach these lists, but these are generally the chapters where I start going, flip, flip. Yep, still list, flip, flip. Still a list, flip, flip. And I tend to skim through it. And I think maybe the good Lord just saw it in his favor to slip this little gem right in the middle of all those lists just to see if we're paying attention. So I want us to really focus at chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles. Paul, my husband, not Apostle Paul, we may get that a little confused as we go along, but we'll try to stay there. My husband, Paul, is going to begin reading verse 6. Just to give you a taste of how these 9 chapters read.
And Narah bare him Abizam and Hepha and Temani and Haristari. These were the sons of Narah, and the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezreel and Ethnan, and Coz begat Anam and Zobabah, and the families of Harel, the son of Haran.
Now, you know I did that on purpose, right? I mean, it's always fun to stick the other person with all the names, right? Don't we kind of gauge that as we read in the circle? I'm going to make sure I get the easier names or not get any names at all. Yet look at this. Following those exact words that Paul just read are these two verses that don't seem to belong there at all. Verses 9 and 10.
Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will not feel your pain or be free from pain." And God granted his request.
And the scriptures pick right back up with the genealogy, as in verses 11 and 12.
And Saleb, the brother of Shahua, begot Neher, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begot Bethrapha and Paseah and Teninah, and the father of Ernabash. These were the sons of Eshton, and I am stopping there.
And we're all grateful for it. But we thank you for your tenacity, Paul. Only a loving husband would do that, right? So here we see embedded within these genealogical lists are two verses concerning Jabez, and Jabez isn't attached to any name around it. It's fascinating. These two verses appear without warning and without explanation. No other person mentioned in these nine chapters are highlighted for what they are known for, only Jabez. Now, before we venture into the beauty of the prayer and before we explore why it is here, I'd like us to face the critics of Bruce Wilkinson. There's always critics, right? So why not face it first? Who wrote this brief book based on the scripture. Now, Wilkinson has been criticized as promoting a prosperity gospel. But I believe the criticism is based on misinterpretation of the scripture, and I'd like us to break it down to understand why.
First, Jabez prays, "Enlarge my territory." We can be cynical as we read it, thinking Jabez is crying out for more land in a greedy manner, as the critics do. Or we can see him crying out to God to be used in a greater way, to reach more people. Another line that can be misinterpreted as selfish is, "Let your hand be with me," as in, with me and no one else. After all, we do know that when we pray to God for our favorite basketball team, or baseball team to win, or even those crazy Patriots that some people in here like, they'll remain nameless. We, in essence, praying for the demise of others, yet that is not how I believe this scripture should be interpreted. This prayer is a beautiful plea. Jabez knows that he cannot do it alone without God's help. Jabez is crying out his dependency on God, a petition that God honors. Let's end the critics' complaints and let's see the beauty of this prayer.
So in the next line we have, "That you keep me from harm." That's what Jabez prays, "That you keep me from harm." Now this beautifully reflects in the Lord's Prayer, you see, when we pray, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." One has to almost wonder if Jesus wasn't teaching his disciples to pray as Jabez, to pray that we not be led into paths that would be harmful to ourselves. Yet the final part of that line, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain, is also has another interpretation. According to the King James Version, it reads, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. So I want you to hear those two interpretations one more time. The one interpretation is, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. But do you see the shift of the emphasis in the second one? Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. You know, even though Bruce Wilkinson uses this King James Version not to cause pain, he doesn't even address it in the book. And I went through the book several times thinking, why is this not being addressed? Because to me, that is the prayer. That is the prayer, that we not harm others around us. But in today's world, how often do we witness, and unfortunately, Christians hurting one another who are not identical to them in a variety of ways, using tactics to demean or to destroy the faith, the love, and sometimes just the joy of another person? And some are so zealous in their faith that they do harm in the name of Christ. Therefore, it is imperative that we cling to David's psalm, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, Psalm 19:14, and add Jabez's prayer, so that I not do harm to others. That spoke heavy to my heart. Let us not forget that God answered Jabez's prayer for Jabez's personal growth. Chapter 10 states, as Paul read, and God granted his request. Thus, the prayer of Jabez is a beautiful prayer to issue to God when we are seeking personal growth.
When we pray for others, the Apostle Paul has a wonderful example spoken over the church of Ephesus. It comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. It reads, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is a wow prayer. When we pray these words over another person or persons, let's see what we are blessing them with. Number one, that they experience the riches of his glory. Also stated by Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, which states, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Riches in glory is often interpreted as crown of glory. And here are a few examples through Scripture.
Isaiah 62:3.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God.
James 1:12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
2 Timothy 4:8.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
And Revelation 2, verse 10.
Fear none of those things which shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
1 Peter 5:4.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Those weren't the only scriptures. There were like 15 to 20 that talked about a crown of life, a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness. And you know, ever since I was a child, I wasn't into crowns. You know, they have these princess things that, you know, kids are crazy about today, but I was raised on a farm. I was barefoot in the haymow making forts and riding my bicycle down dirt roads. I wasn't into tiaras at all. So, you know, when I read about the crown of glory, I'm thinking, I don't need that. Just give me a barefoot and a bike and let me go down the dirt road, you know? But after I read the book, Hinds Feet on High Places, written by Hannah Harnard, I better understood this crown that it runs through Scripture. And I've mentioned this book before. It is the woman's version of Pilgrim's Progress. And the author, Hannah Harnard, takes the main character and by the main character's association and trust of the chief shepherd, the main character is transformed. The main character, it's an analogy, so the main character is much afraid, is transformed slowly, step by step, in her journey to the high places. Now, this journey is hard. With each detour, the main character learns something. And during these moments, at each lesson, she would build an altar out of small stones, not a big altar, just a small one, and she would thank the good shepherd for that lesson learned. And from each altar, she would select a singular stone, often rough, always common, and place it in her bag that she kept slung over her shoulder. And on occasion, much afraid when needing courage, would run her hand over the stones in her bag to remind herself of what the good shepherd had seen her through. When she finally reaches the high places, the good shepherd greets her in the lights of glory. He pours out her bag of stones, and he rolls them in his hand. These faithful stones she has collected and carried through her journey. And he turns those hard, rough lessons learned in a spirit of thanksgiving into small, smooth, shining crown of glory, and he places it upon her head. How beautiful is that image? Not only is the main character transformed, but her stones, her commitments become jewels that crown her. You know, our actions of faithfulness, and this includes our prayers, they do matter and they do not go unnoticed. They are our altar stones, and they are honored by God, the same way Jabez's prayer was answered. Our prayers are as jewels to him.
What else do we bless others with aside from the riches of glory? Let's go back to the Apostle Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. In addition to experiences, the riches of glory, we have Paul stating three additional blessings. Number one, that they be strengthened with power through his Spirit in their inner being. Number two, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And number three, that they who are rooted and grounded in love may have the strength to understand. Scripture tells us that once we are rooted and grounded in God's love, we are like the tree that's planted by the waters, as mentioned in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seats of mockers. By his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does or she does prospers. The scripture continues to say that the wicked fare not the same. They will be blown away like chaff in the wind because they are not grounded by God. God's love is total, says Paul. It reaches every corner of our experience. It is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience, and it reaches out to the whole world. It is long, whichever way you want to go. It continues the length of our lives. It is high. It rises to the heights of our celebration and elation. It is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, or depression, and even death. When you feel shut out or isolated, remember that you can never be lost to God's love. For another scripture verse about God's immeasurable love, we see it in Romans chapter 8, 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The beauty of this prayer is that it can be for oneself. However, it is essentially a prayer for others.
So that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. We are going to consider those around you, and I want you to look to your left, and if there's no one there, keep looking. And look to your right, and I want you to pick two or four people in your vicinity, basically to your left and right. And on the back of your bulletin is a prayer, and I want you to say that aloud with Paul and me, with those individuals in mind. We are going to take time to pray for one another. On the back, it says Apostle Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. Are you ready? I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How beautiful to pray that for a loved one that's sitting right next to you. Sometimes we pray for other people and we forget to pray for one another. We forget to pray for our spouse. We forget to pray for, you know, someone who's very, very close to us. So now you've done that, I now want you to look at who's in front of you and who is behind you. So you're going to have to look around. And again, I want you to select 2 to 4 people. And now we're going to say the prayer again with those 2 to 4 people in mind. Are you ready? I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
as closure today. Let's draw joy from Habakkuk, found in and amongst the minor prophets. In the Old Testament, he is tucked in between Nahum and Zephaniah. Habakkuk's third and final chapter is a prayer, or you could call it a proclamation. It's verses 18 through 19, and it states the following. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go onto the heights.
You know, if we've ever watched a deer, a gazelle, or horned rams climb cliffs, we can see that they ascend very quickly, but we can also witness that they descend equally fast, equally rapidly. You know, if we are truly grounded in God's grace and nature in prayer, we can ascend to the glorious heights, yet we can descend to the valley where true growth occurs. That's where the green grass is, correct? With equal grace. When we see this ability in others to ascend and descend in life with equal grace, we recognize that as spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity takes time and it takes practice. Just as a young deer must develop sure-footedness, called hind's feet in scripture, so we must develop our prayer life and find this balance in life. Balance in life. That's what prayer creates. Therefore, let us pray that God increase our territory, that he help us expand our heights and deepen our faith to walk, leap, and journey with grace throughout life.
May we pray that we be so rooted in God's love that we do no harm to others.
May we pray for others, covering them with the grace of Jesus. May we consider more than the blank of prayers, but specifically pray for present circumstances and future growth.
May we never forget the children. May their lives be shielded by our prayers. May we build a hedge of protection around each life. May they find shelter and love in our midst.
May we pray for God's will to be done.
May our lives be open vessels for his work and his glory.
May we seek a cleansing that makes us acceptable to God.
May we thirst after the living God.
Amen. Amen.